senior Hamas official warns about the consequences of Israeli aggression towards Palestinians in occupied Jerusalem al-Quds. Russia's President Vladimir Putin says Moscow will firmly defend its national interests amid growing tensions with the West. Also ahead, the British Prime Minister calls a union summit with the leaders of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland amid calls for another Scottish independence referendum. Welcome to World News. We're live from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Thank you very much for joining us. Our top story, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has warned against the dangerous consequences of Israeli atrocities against Palestinian people. The Hamas political bureau chief Ismail Haniyeh underlined that the situation in East Jerusalem al-Quds and at Al-Aqsa Mosque remain tense due to Israeli violence. In a letter to the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, Haniyeh called on the Muslim world to take a firm stance against Israeli crimes. He also called for Arab, Islamic, as well as international diplomacy to stop Israeli brutalities. The call comes amid Israeli crackdown on Palestinians in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. The regime is trying to evict dozens of Palestinian families there as part of its land grab policy. The number of people injured in Israeli attacks in Sheikh Jarrah has reportedly risen to 100. Meanwhile, Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip have vowed to adopt retaliatory measures against the Israeli regime's latest atrocities in occupied Jerusalem al-Quds. Ruba Shabit has more from Gaza.
The Democratic Front for Liberation of Palestine held a press conference warning that Israeli regime will face retaliatory measures over its ongoing attacks in Jerusalem al-Quds. Palestinian resistance in the Gaza Strip marked Saturday as a day of popular rage along the border fence, where the resistance announced a return of military clashes with the Israeli army and firing incendiary balloons toward Israel in response to the crimes committed in Jerusalem al-Quds.
What is happening in Jerusalem al-Quds is systematic apartheid policy that aims to demolish the Palestinian cause. The recent eviction of Palestinians in Sheikh Jarrah is totally refused by Palestinians. So the resistance in Gaza announces the return of clashes on the borders and calls for a new uprising if these violations continue.
In a recent speech, resistance leaders warned that Israel should bear the responsibility over the recent attacks against Palestinian residents in occupied East Jerusalem al-Quds, saying the resistance is ready to defend Jerusalem with all means.
We hold the Israeli regime responsible for the consequences of the crimes in Jerusalem al-Quds. Palestinian resistance won't sit idle against the killing and eviction of Palestinians. Jerusalem is our red line. All Palestinian groups are united in responding to these crimes, and the response will be heavy.
Palestinians called on the international community and all Muslim nations to support Palestinians and do actions to stop the Israeli violations of Palestinians and the ongoing attacks of the holy places in Jerusalem.
Palestinians are all united in the face of these Israeli crimes. We are calling on Islamic nations to stand by Palestinians and stop these Israeli violations. Our main goal is protection of the holy city.
Palestinian worshippers clashed with the Israeli regime late Friday at Al-Aqsa Mosque in an escalation of weeks of violence in Jerusalem. Palestinian resistance here holds the Israeli regime responsible for the attacks against Palestinians in Jerusalem al-Quds, announcing they are ready to respond. Ruba Shabit, Gaza.
The Yemeni army says it has carried out yet another retaliatory drone strike against Saudi targets inside the kingdom's south. Army spokesman Yahya Saria said the strike successfully targeted the King Khalid Air Base in the city of Khamis Mushayyad using Qasif K2 drones. The attack is in response to Saudi Arabia's years-long aggression against its southern neighbor. Riyadh and its allies launched a devastating war on Yemen in 2015 to reinstate a friendly regime there. Tens of thousands of people have been killed and millions displaced as a result of the war. But the Yemeni army and its allied Ansar Allah forces have stepped up their retaliatory attacks against the kingdom in recent months. The death toll from Saturday's multiple bomb explosions outside a girls' school in the Afghan capital Kabul has risen to over 50. Authorities say at least 150 people were also wounded in the blasts in an area largely populated by the Shia Hazara community. President Ashraf Ghani has blamed the attack on the Taliban, but the militant group denies any involvement. Families of the victims blame the government and the West for failing to put an end to violence. Hazaras have been targeted in the past by the Daesh terror group. The blast came a week after the U.S. started withdrawing its remaining troops from Afghanistan. Nearly two decades of the U.S. military presence has failed to ensure security there. Meanwhile, Iran has condemned the bloodshed, urging all Afghan groups to work together to establish peace and security. Our correspondent Amin Alami says the multiple blasts outside a school in Kabul on Saturday were just minutes apart.
The incident happened when a heavy car bomb blast went off in front of the entrance gate of Sayyid al-Shahada High School that is located in western part of Kabul. According to the local sources, just a few minutes after the first blast, that was a car bomb blast, two other explosions also happened there. They say that those explosions were IEDs that were planted by terrorist groups there, but Afghanistan's Interior Ministry confirms only one explosion at the in front of Sayyid al-Shahada High School in western Kabul, and have not commented regarding to the rest of other explosions that happened there in Dasht-e-Berchi. This area, I mean Dasht-e-Berchi in western Kabul, particularly educational centers in this area have been repeatedly came under attack by Daesh terrorist group. In the eyes of Daesh terrorists, Shia Hazara people are not Muslims, and they must be killed.
Tehran and the remaining parties to the Iran nuclear deal are meeting in Vienna for talks on a possible revival of the accord. Iran has asserted that it rejects any demands that would exceed those stipulated by the deal. The excessive demands of the U.S. may derail the talks from bearing any results altogether.
The remaining signatories to the 2015 Iran nuclear deal have been meeting in the Austrian capital, Vienna, in recent weeks to find a way to salvage the international accord. While few details about the talks have been revealed, Press TV has learned that the U.S. and the European signatories to the deal apparently want the destruction of Iran's new generation centrifuges in return for a temporary suspension of some of the sanctions related to the nuclear deal, officially titled the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. This is while, under the JCPOA, Iran's advanced centrifuges, including IR-4, IR-6, and IR-9s, must be stored away under the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency and not destroyed. Press TV obtained information that shows Iran won't give in to the excessive demands of the Westerners, and also in case of insistence on the part of the other side, the possibility of the JCPOA, and not just the negotiations in Vienna, unraveling altogether will be real.
The Iranians have seen what the Americans and the Europeans have done. They've talked and talked and talked a lot about how they want the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action to succeed, and yet they've done everything in their power to ensure that it won't succeed. The Europeans refuse to permit trade with Iran in any kind of barter arrangement, even with that INSTEX, that International Exchange Program. So they're simply kowtowing to the Americans, acting as their running dogs, and simply making a big production out of nothing. It's a simple matter to abolish the sanctions and rejoin the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. But of course they won't do that, and they want to blame the Iranians for their own failures.
The new demands, meant to impose new nuclear commitments on Iran, have been put forward while the U.S. has not even agreed to remove all the JCPOA-related sanctions, a condition set by Tehran for a possible U.S. return to the nuclear deal.
The JCPOA has been in disarray since May 2018, when the U.S. under former President Donald Trump abandoned the deal and reimposed the anti-Iran sanctions that the JCPOA had lifted. Currently, there are 1,600 sanctions imposed, reimposed, or relabeled against Tehran. Iran has time and again noted that it will reverse its remedial scale back of its JCPOA commitments only if all sanctions are removed.
U.S. President Joe Biden has expressed his willingness to reverse Trump's policy regarding the JCPOA and to rejoin the deal. However, his administration has so far refused to take any meaningful action to gain Iran's trust and come back to compliance. External influences may have been a contributing factor. The U.S. president has reportedly met with the head of the Israeli regime's intelligence service, Mossad, in Washington, D.C. last week and told him his country isn't close to returning to the Iran nuclear deal. Biden reportedly said the United States has a long way to go in talks with Iran before it agrees to return to full compliance, comments that appear to have been assurances to Israel, which is a vehement opponent of the deal. The Mossad chief also reportedly asked Biden not to rejoin the accord without improving it first.
Well, Yossi Cohen, meeting with Jack Sullivan, Biden's national security advisor in Washington, with Biden just happening, mind you, happening to drop by the talks, is a clear indication that it's outside pressure and it's aimed at making inside demands and inside controls on the American government by the Israelis to reject and ditch the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. The Israelis are probably afraid that someone might ask questions about why the JCPOA applies only to Iran and why isn't there not one that applies to Israel, India, and Pakistan, other nuclear states, with a very unstable track record. So I think that it is pressure from the inside, pressure under the table, if not subterranean.
Iran says the ball is in the U.S.'s court to return to the agreement and remove all its sanctions on Tehran, or pursue the failed policy of its predecessor, known as Maximum Pressure Campaign, and push ahead with its hostile policy against the Islamic Republic.
Elsewhere, Russian President Vladimir Putin says Moscow will firmly defend its national interests to ensure the safety of its people. Putin also said Russia consistently defends international law. The comments come amid growing tensions between Russia and the West over a host of issues, including Ukraine. The Russian president made the remarks during a parade marking the 76th anniversary of the victory over Nazi Germany in World War II. The event was attended by other high-ranking officials, including Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin and Deputy Head of Russia's Security Council, Dmitry Medvedev. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has called a union summit with the leaders of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland amid calls for another Scottish independence referendum. Johnson says the interests of people across the UK are best served through joint work. The offer comes after pro-independence parties won a majority in Scotland's parliamentary elections. Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon has vowed to press ahead with plans for a second independence referendum. Sturgeon has warned Johnson against blocking the push. A 2014 referendum saw the pro-independence camp losing with a narrow margin, but Brexit has gradually changed the public opinion in Scotland. Turning to some coronavirus news now, and beginning with India, which is spiraling deeper into COVID-19 crisis as deaths and infections have been hitting record peaks in the world's second most populous nation. Fresh figures indicate that the country's daily death toll has surged past 4,000 for the second consecutive day. The new fatalities have taken the overall tally to over 240,000. Infection cases have also risen by over 400,000 to above 22 million. The sweeping coronavirus wave has spilled over into neighboring countries, affecting Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Nepal. In Pakistan, people rushed to markets before a 9-day national lockdown. The government imposed the restrictions ahead of the Eid al-Fitr celebrations that mark the end of the fasting month of Ramadan. Manoj Zaman says the Indian government is considering a nationwide lockdown under the pressure of the opposition.
Some reports suggest that till the date of May 5, India could have seen as many as 650,000 deaths. Because this is something which many experts are also arguing, because the real picture is not on the public domain or on the social domain. Nobody knows actually how many people are dying every day, because since the outbreak, we have seen how many people are queuing outside the crematoriums and graveyards are also full. So there is a huge debate and there's a huge discussion going about the death toll, which many say is much higher, perhaps triple, than what the government figures suggest. Now what the government is doing, it is considering locking down the entire country. The opposition party is pressing the government that in order to break the chain transmission, we need to have some sort of lockdown, but it should be a complete lockdown on movement of anything.
Turning elsewhere, thousands of Portuguese have rallied in the streets of the northwestern city of Porto to protest against unemployment, job insecurity, and low wages. The demonstration came on the sidelines of the second day of the European Union summit hosted by the Portuguese city and amid Portugal's worsening unemployment rate. Around one in five workers in the country have been laid off since the pandemic began. Meanwhile, the EU summit planned to discuss social issues with it, a commitment to an inclusive recovery from the bloc's record recession triggered by the health crisis. And that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour, but don't go away.
This is IRIB English Radio. Website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Aperture. Welcome back to Aperture. Over the past 50 years, the average global temperature has increased at the fastest rate in recorded history. Scientists agree that the Earth's rising temperatures are fueling longer and hotter heat waves, more frequent droughts, heavier rainfall, and more powerful hurricanes. The impacts of global warming are being felt across the globe. And it could speed up if we keep burning fossil fuels at our current pace. But it's not just global warming. Other forms of pollution are also destroying the Earth. Now, many experts agree that environmental, economic, and health consequences are likely to occur if current trends continue. Don't go away. Here's the rest of the documentary.
We are a family, the Earth itself, and the humans that live on this planet. We can have a positive or negative interaction with each other. If we do negative things, nature will respond negatively.
Unfortunately, when we collectively use more and produce more, we see this as welfare. Anywhere in the world, if the production of automobiles, cement, or electricity increases, officials of that country take pride in it. For instance, they say we've been able to boost steel production by 10%.
Our main priority now is to cap production.
They would never come and say that we've cut production because the Earth is sick, it has a problem, that this year we've cut our production, we've cut cement, we've cut steel in order to cause less harm to the Earth. We haven't yet reached that stage.
Today, we hardly consider the future in our decisions. I can frankly say that we never think about the future.
You will no longer exist. The sky that you look upon, the air that you breathe, is your father. The planet you live on is your mother.
We've failed to take into consideration the Earth's biological capacity, and this is the number one reason for the disaster we're now facing.
The polar bear, the ruler of the Arctic. There are 25,000 of them left in the world. They're on the verge of extinction. Animals need ice for hunting, seals and other prey, but the Arctic is melting.
Our water resources are being destroyed. Natural ice caps, which are the main source of sweet drinking water for billions of people, are melting. These are issues that will powerfully affect the future of mankind.
Everyone here is praying for more rain, but is it already too late?
Lack of water will be the main problem for mankind in the future.
It certainly looks like a crisis after the worst drought in 80 years in the state of São Paulo. Reservoirs have reached rock bottom, and everyone's hoping the rainy season will bring a miracle.
With global warming, we're concerned about the future of the Earth's environment and worried about the continued life of human beings. We're concerned about environmental adversities that could happen to the Earth. For example, the rise of international waters, melting of polar ice caps, and extinction of many animal species.
Look, with the predicted temperature changes, all polar ice caps are melting. Why? Why is all this happening? Because the temperature is rising, and so Q, or heat energy, is increasing. The temperature on Earth is rising. When a place like Alaska and cold climate regions are going down, well, this temperature difference is being narrowed. What will happen if the temperature difference narrows? Distances are being narrowed. So that means depth is being added to. When it becomes deeper, it means we're moving into it.
Be
Due to the destruction we're causing to the planet, polar ice caps will melt in no time and water levels will rise. Then you'll see how many cities will be totally inundated, and this will lead to great expense and loss for humans. How many refugees will we have? What amount of humanitarian aid would be required for those inundated countries and to accommodate their people?
I am thinking about all the suffering you have caused us.
It's obvious that at some level we abuse the earth to make money, but then we have to spend it, and the spending will probably increase.
I am trapped in a nightmare. I am trapped in this nightmare. I hope I wake up soon. This catastrophe is more than I can bear, but I am a forgiving mother. I cannot stand that my children.
The main discussion point here is, to what extent are we endangering the balance of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere?
This is the result of years of indifference toward the rise of fuel consumption by Earth's inhabitants, using fossil fuels and extracting amounts of carbon from the depths of the Earth and emitting it out into our atmosphere, with the oceans and water's low capacity in absorbing it.
Countries that produce oil and gas highly depend on oil revenues for their income. Well, if we discuss cutting emissions, that would mean reducing the production of fossil fuels, and that could somehow affect their income in the future. We humans, for our own interests, have been indifferent toward the Earth by gradually increasing the use of heating devices for transportation, as in cars, or fossil fuels that are used in industries, petrochemical refineries, powerhouses, and household fuels, and so on.
این محصول بی‌توجهی ما به حال زمین بوده.
We all breathe the same air. There may be less pollution in one place and more in another, but its effect on the environment can be hazardous for us all.
برای همه ما میتونه زیانبار و زیانبخش باشه.
Used to be so good, but my children started to forget about me. They started to only think about themselves and forgot about their mother. I don't quite understand why greed has taken such a hold of me. My children have brought disorder to this world.
We will see many people lose their habitats due to rising seawater levels in the future.
Consider the chain of islands that make up the Maldives.
which are only 1.2 meters above sea level at most. The country will lose a large portion of its land with the minutest rise in open water levels. Residential areas will be destroyed.
Many people will be unable to continue living in their own countries due to the drought and lack of water.
You pointed out to wars being fought in the future over water. Unfortunately, I have to say that these wars have already started. The future is now. Since entering the 21st century, even in our own western region, there have been serious challenges over water resources. So discussions about war and the competition for having access to water resources have already begun. It may not be that serious now, but be aware of its complications.
A large number of people will have to be relocated because their cities will become uninhabitable.
These people will migrate to places across the world, but these other areas do not have a high capacity either. It will be one of mankind's major problems in the future.
What does it all mean? It will mean high expenses for human living, something we never thought about. We never thought that a big city could ever become uninhabitable, a city with millions of residents, but it's happening.
The people I see, these are people, Paula, let me explain, who are people with limited resources. These are people who did not have the wherewithal to get out of town. They didn't have cars. There's no way they could pay for a hotel room. They stayed in their houses because they had to. And then the water came up, and I'm sure there were elderly here, there were infirm here. It's just horrific.
پیش بینی میشه که طی 15 سال آینده بر اساس بهترین برآوردهای
Based on UN estimations, it's predicted that within the next 15 years at most, between 80 and 90 million people will be displaced from small countries that are made up of chains of islands due to global warming and climate change. Then we won't be dealing with migrants and asylum seekers displaced by war and conflict. We will have migrants fleeing environmental disasters as well. So we need to make people around the world more aware of this eventuation and find a solution for it.
If I make a mistake here and go to jail, my kids and family will live the effects. I've done something wrong, but my child will feel its effects. If I make a mistake as a member of the global community, that mistake affects the whole. One multiplied by 1,000. One is a small figure. One is a small figure, but it's multiplied by 1,000. What does it equal? It equals 1,000. You have an index called M for mistake, which is a huge figure collectively. It's the mass of the entire planet. It's not at all a small figure. Now, even if you have an extremely small figure, you're multiplying it by a very large number. 1 multiplied by 1,000 equals 1,000. The 1 turned into 1,000. 2 multiplied by 1,000 equals 2,000. 3 multiplied by 1,000 equals 3,000. 0.5 multiplied by 1,000 equals 500. So we should be aware of what we're doing.
که داریم چه میکنیم؟
زمین هم داره خیلی تلاش میکنه که
The Earth is also making all efforts to somehow balance all the noise and demands we're imposing on it. However, our power, mankind's destructive power, is now seemingly taking the upper hand over the Earth's ability to regenerate itself.
Anyways, we should know that if the doors to the future open in this way, it will lead to a grave crisis.
Children, the economic factor is not a sustainable argument. I think about climate change and this disaster.
The components of social welfare need to be changed. The developing world should no longer be using the same criterion the developed world has defined as welfare for its people and follow their footsteps.
If we take an overall look, I think any project, any move, any industrialization, any process or any technology should calculate the temperature rise on the Earth in proportion with the delta T quotient.
Finally, humans can go on living for a week or two without food and a few days without water, but without air, we can't but survive for a minute. It is the most vital of anything the Earth's atmosphere has provided us with. We're using it, but on the other hand, we're destroying it, badly, and with high cost. We place it into a poorly manufactured man-made combustion device and receive toxic chemicals on the other side, which remains. It remains and moves around. And the Earth has no way to get rid of some of these toxic chemicals we've produced.
The economy has limited all activities to itself, and those who speak about the impact on the environment and the Earth just talk and hold summits, but practically it's almost useless.
Concern. Just concern. What does that mean? What does being concerned mean? Static concern is meaningless. Concern should be dynamic. If you're concerned, you should do something to reduce that concern. That's a dynamic solution, not a static one. A static solution just adds to your concern and accumulates and is useless. Concern must be dynamic. What does dynamic mean? It means you must seek a real solution for it. It means you need to have a program.
I believe that if we carry on like this, making the Earth sick and failing to do anything about this sickness, we'll be deeply ashamed in front of our next generations. They've had no role in bringing about this situation, yet they have to bear the consequences. Consequences that are getting worse by the day. So I can't do anything but apologize to the next generation who might be watching this film for the disasters that my generation is causing the environment and the Earth.
زمین به عنوان بشر داری میاری.
I don't understand why my children are destroying the one and only home that they have. As my children, they have closed their eyes to the facts. Don't use your planet in the wrong way. We are a part of you, not separated from you.
Thank you.
The Earth has been stable and balanced due to its ecosystem. It carried on with its life way before we ever came along and started hurting and destroying it. Finally, just like a pendulum will do, if you place it out of balance, it will try to balance itself, reach its lowest energy level, and become balanced.
The Earth is our mother. It's beautiful, it's a creator, it's merciful, and we in return are being very bad children.
Well, it's perfectly true that every single one of us citizens of the Earth must do our share to reduce pollution. But to curb global warming and avoid its dire consequences, the countries most responsible must make an effort. The U.S. has caused more global warming than any other country. Research shows that from 1850 to the year 2011, the United States, a single country, produced 27% of the total carbon dioxide emissions of the world. No other single country was even close. Indeed, the U.S. even outdistanced all the nations of the European Union combined. Well, that's a wrap for this week, but join me again next week here on Aperture. Goodbye for now.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is for a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Dear brothers and sisters, you're welcome to our program for a better life with me, Javed Akbari. We are going to discuss about the concept of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, or enjoining good and forbidding evil. Of course, we recited in the previous episode two important verses from the Holy Quran, verse 104 of chapter Ali Imran and verse 110 of chapter Ali Imran, which is chapter 3 of the Holy Quran. The Quran says, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. There has to be a nation among you summoning to the good, bidding what is right and forbidding what is wrong. It is they who are the felicitous. Now this is verse 104 of the chapter 3 of the Holy Quran, chapter Al Imran. And then كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You are the best nation ever brought forth for mankind. You bid what is right and forbid what is wrong and have faith in Allah. Now these are verses dealing with the concept of أمر بالمعروف ونهي عن المنكر, enjoining good or bidding what's right and forbidding what's wrong. This verse is verse 110 of the Quran and 110 of chapter Al-Imran. Now, I also mentioned some ahadith, some very important ahadith from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, regarding the necessity of forbidding evil and enjoining good. Of course, according to the prophetic tradition, it is stated clearly that if enjoining good is, let's say, cancelled, and if people stop spreading good and spreading virtue in the society and bidding what's right and forbidding what's wrong, then at the end of the day, evil will spread everywhere. Evil will continue to spread everywhere. Chaos, mischief will dominate the human society. And then if evil dominates the society, then God's blessings, barakah and khair, and rahmah will be taken away from a human society and from a humanity at large and from you as an individual. There is also hadith, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has been reported to have said, God considers a weak believer who does not have faith his enemy. And the Prophet was asked, who is a weak believer who does not have faith? The Prophet answered, he is a person who does not forbid evil. He is a person who does not forbid evil. He is a weak person. The commander of faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, said in one of his sermons, the reason for the destruction of the previous nations and the descent of divine punishments on them was that they committed sins and their scholars and adherents did not enjoin good and forbid evil. Therefore, you, the Muslim nation, should learn from these events and make each other to do good deeds and prevent the evil.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
This is just another saying from the Ma'soom, from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, which asserts one important notion, and that is, if people neglect their duty in terms of doing good and in terms of spreading virtue, then divine punishments will befall them. They will, suffer misery, and they will be deprived of divine blessings. And one of the reasons why the previous nations actually were destroyed and divine punishments befell them was because they did not stop evil and they did not fulfill their obligation to stop evil and to bid what is right. Okay. So that's why Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says, you, the Muslim nation, should learn from these events and make each other to do good deeds and prevent the evil. Okay. And there's also a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, who said, a man from Khat'am clan. There was a clan, a tribe named Khat'am. Okay. Who, a man from this tribe visited the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his family, and asked, what is the most virtuous deed in Islam? What is the most virtuous deed in Islam? The Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, said, faith in Allah the Exalted. This is the most virtuous act in Islam. And then he said, what is the next most virtuous deed? The Prophet answered, the Prophet said, Silatul Rahim, keeping ties with kinship, staying in touch with your close relatives. That's what we mean by Silatul Rahim. Okay, so that's the second most important duty. And then the man continued asking, he said, what is the next most virtuous deed? The Prophet answered, enjoining the good and forbidding from evil. Enjoining the good and forbidding evil. So this is the next most important duty after Salatul Rahim. And then the man continued to ask, what is the most despicable act in the eyes of Allah? The most hated and the most abhorrible act in the eyes of Allah. The Prophet answered, to associate a partner with Allah. To associate a partner with Allah, to be a mushrik, to commit shirk, is the most heinous and the most despicable act in God's eyes. And then he further asked, what is the next most despicable act? The Prophet said, enjoining the bad and forbidding from the good. Enjoining the bad and forbidding from the good. That is the opposite of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. So this is a hadith, and this lengthy report actually suggests that everybody as a Muslim individual has to fulfill his duty to spread virtue, to promote virtue, to bid what is right, and to forbid what is wrong. The commander of faithful Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam has categorized people in connection with these two duties into four groups. These two duties, that is, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. He has categorized the people into four groups. Some people reject the evil with their hands, tongues, and hearts. Now, the second group of people are people who reject the evil with their tongues and hearts, but they do not act to prevent it in practice. Then there is a third group of people. Some people despise evil in their hearts, but they do not try to prevent it with their tongues and hands. Imam Ali wasalam says, some people are generally indifferent towards the evil and sins. They are indifferent. They neither prevent the evil with their hearts, nor with their tongues, nor with their hands. So they are quite indifferent. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam says, although they seem to breathe in the name of living human beings, they are in fact dead. Inshallah, we will discuss and talk about these four groups in the following episode. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Your mercy, your love is all I need.
Is all I need.
All I need.
Love is all I need.
It's all I need.
Love is all I need.
All I need.
Love is all I need.
Oh, 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 oh.
'Cause your love is all I need. To be all I need. And I know that you see how much you need to me. You mean to me, 'cause your love is all I need. To be all I can be. And I know that you see how much you mean to me.
Your love is all I need.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.